Good morning. Good morning. We're broadcasting live from Whites of Westport for the District Attorney's Fun with Senior Citizens event. There's a free breakfast. Come on down. We'll be broadcasting live for all 3 hours here at Whites of Westport. The breakfast is great. I was brought a plate. I really appreciate that. Producer Matt has a plate. Matt, what do you think of the breakfast this morning here?
It's incredible. It's great. I wasn't expecting it to be this good, but they got French toast. They have eggs, home fries, fruit.
Whites of Westport puts on a great spread, and we really appreciate District Attorney Tom Quinn for putting it all on for us here. If you're a senior citizen, come on down. We've got really great sponsors who made this happen as well. We want to thank Coastline Elderly Services, Anodyne, AARP of Massachusetts, Bristol Elder Services, Mechanics Cooperative Bank, all kinds of great sponsors. And you can come down and enjoy a really great program, great speakers, giveaways, and most importantly, a free breakfast that Matt is certainly enjoying, I'm enjoying, and we're having a good time here at Whites of Westport. Beautiful day out there, great day to get out in your car or whatever you drive, and come down here to Whites of Westport. Matt, always a big crowd here, right? This is your second or third year.
Yeah, this is the second time we've broadcasted here. And yeah, it's always packed, and it's always a great time. People are always incredible.
I like when people come up to me and talk to me about how they call me on the phone, but they've never had the opportunity to come up and talk to me in person, and I do appreciate that, even if it is with an apology. People come up to me and apologize to me for maybe getting out of line. I think it's all good radio, though. So we are taking calls at 508-996-0500. Of course, this will be Tom Quinn's last senior breakfast. He is not running for re-election. Tom Quinn, I think, has done a marvelous job as district attorney. You'll be choosing his successor. You have a number of qualified people looking to succeed Tom Quinn. And we'll get Tom over later in the morning. A lot of action coming out of the district attorney's office because it's Bristol County and there's lots of crimes here. Once again, Bristol County will be making the national news for a pitchfork murder. An incredible, gruesome murder took place in the city of Fall River. The district attorney held a press conference. I believe it'll be national news soon enough. Were they Americans, the victims? Was the alleged murderer, double murderer, an American citizen? It's almost illegal to ask. We're almost not allowed to ask the question any longer. In the supermajority Democrat state run by Governor Healey, it's almost against the law to ask the very reasonable question. Were the victims here legally? Was the alleged murderer here legally? I'm going to reason that they were not. That they were not. How many Americans own a pitchfork? Most do not, I don't believe. Why would someone in an urban environment like the city of Fall River have a pitchfork? Why? And why would they drive it through the brain of another person? Why? These are the questions I have, and hopefully our very capable district attorney and his staff will be able to come up with the answers. I know the mayor of Fall River was at the press conference. The chief of police was at the press conference. The district attorney obviously was there. Why would somebody who has a perfectly functioning handgun, which he also allegedly used, have to resort to using a pitchfork? Does that strike you as an American type of crime? Not me. Matt, what about you? Do you own a pitchfork, Matt?
I think maybe somewhere. Really? In a shed somewhere. My dad is kind of urban, or not urban,
rural.
Rural.
He's a Freetownian.
Yes, yeah. He's from Freetown.
He grew up in Freetown like I did, but I don't own a pitchfork. I will tell you, though, I have made the case to my friends and neighbors that a shovel is the ultimate home defense weapon. Maybe I have to rethink that. Maybe it is the pitchfork. I don't know. It's certainly more menacing. It's got a more visually menacing appearance, right?
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like a shovel is fairly routine, but a pitchfork?
Yeah,
pitchfork is menacing. It's demonic almost.
Yeah, and it's a symbol of threat, like people coming at you with pitchforks and torches.
Yeah, exactly. It's a menacing item. And we've seen it used in a tragically menacing altercation. But the guy also had a gun. Allegedly, he killed somebody with a gun and then turned to the pitchfork. But also a cobblestone. None of this strikes me as an American crime. To crush someone's head. By the way, we're broadcasting live from Whites of Westport for a celebration of senior citizens here, put on by our district attorney, the very busy Tom Quinn. I'm discussing some of his official business, but he's also got this beautiful event, Leave Your Pitchforks at the Door, here at Whites of Westport, celebration of seniors. Come on down if you're qualified for a free breakfast. We'll be broadcasting live all morning long. We want to thank our great sponsors here, AARP of Massachusetts, Bristol Elder Services, Mechanics Cooperative Bank, Senior Medicare Patrol, United Healthcare Community Plan, but also Coastline Elderly Services, putting on this wonderful free breakfast and a celebration of seniors. Matt, the other really tragic story that the district attorney is dealing with is this young child, 5 years old, in the Sassaquin region of New Bedford, being cared for by his grandparents. You know, they were doing the babysitting. And I know that neighborhood really well. Sassaquin, right next to Freetown. I know it really well. And the little child raced down the driveway on his tricycle into the approaching landscaper's truck. The landscaper, to his credit, was able to avoid the child with the front bumper. What my understanding, he observed the child. He rapidly turned the vehicle, but the child was on a course destined for disaster, and he raced right into the rear end, the side and the rear end of the vehicle, and he didn't survive. My heart goes out to that family, the Pinheiro family. But also, let's remember, New Bedford is a city, but it's also a very tight-knit and small community. My understanding is many of the first responders had a very close relationship, some more than others, but very close relationship with the child and the child's family. Certainly the neighbors, all of them very close-knit. Today, life will never be the same for that family. Such a tragedy. Children are so precious and so difficult to manage and control, right? In a minute, they're with you. In the next minute, they've turned, they're running, they're moving, they're spontaneous. And it's, look, the driver of that vehicle did, my understanding, everything he could to avoid the tragedy. It just was unavoidable. Everybody will be racked with guilt, but in my opinion, nobody deserves it. They do not deserve it. We'll wait for everything to come out, but it is such a tragedy. So sad. We're broadcasting live from the Celebration of Seniors here at Whites of Westport. If you're a senior citizen, there's a free breakfast, great information, great speakers, all put on by our district attorney, Tom Quinn, Coastal and Elderly Services. Such a great presentation. We are taking your calls at 508-996-0500. Let's start it up. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris, what's going on? How you doing? I just wanted to extend my congratulations to District Attorney Quinn. I know he's on the tail end of his career. I think we're all so lucky to have had him as a DA. And even the past DAs, we've been lucky in Bristol County for many, many years.
Yes. I agree with you. The late Paul Walsh, Tom Quinn has been a great successor. Sam Sutter, of course, who defeated Paul, was a good district attorney. No, you're right about that.
Absolutely, yeah. So he's catered to the geriatric and elder community for years, and I hope they continue to do that because I think they look forward to that. Even what you're doing today at Whites of Westport, you know, they look forward to that.
I appreciate your phone call. Thanks. Don't be a stranger. We're here from Whites of Westport. I got producer Matt with me. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Good morning. We're broadcasting live here from Whites of Westport. Seniors celebration put on by the district attorney. All kinds of great speakers, great presentations, and a free breakfast. Free breakfast that Matt and I are enjoying. All the seniors seem to be enjoying. And the district attorney put on. Thing is, the district attorney's had a hellacious week, really. All kinds of terrible events taking place in Bristol County. You know, years ago, I asked Tom Quinn. I've asked him a couple of times, actually, both at this event and other opportunities when I've had to interview the district attorney. How do you deal with all the tragedies, the horrible crimes that you see? And the pitchfork attack in Fall River, I mean, it's by his own description. If you didn't see the press conference by the district attorney, you can see it online. Check it out. Most major media outlets carried it. He and the chief of police, both veterans of law enforcement, describe it as something so gruesome they have never seen before. Understand what is alleged to have taken place in Fall River is that a likely illegal alien, they're calling him a Fall River man now, but wait till the true details emerge. This doesn't strike me as something an American would do. First of all, who has a pitchfork, all right? That's not, it's demonic at the base of it. It's demonic. Anyway, this alleged murderer used a handgun. Now, that is American, right? He used a handgun. Also, a pitchfork and a cobblestone to crush and murder, allegedly, two people. Just such a tragedy. Such a vicious crime. But at the other end of the spectrum, now, I don't know what these victims were really involved in. The lawyer is describing it as a potential case of self-defense, okay? So we don't know. And maybe the other Fall River men, oh, I think one's maybe from out of Fall River. Maybe they are also not citizens of America. Might be a whole brood of Biden's new Americans, illegal aliens that were involved in this fracas, right, this criminal mayhem. Nonetheless, we are here today, and it's on the district attorney's desk. So you've got that element, which is a crime. But let's go across the county to New Bedford. Now, everybody from out of the area thinks of Fall River and New Bedford as side by side and identical. But we know, and we're regularly reminded by the very capable John Mitchell, the mayor of New Bedford, that there's a tremendous difference between Fall River and New Bedford. But on the same media cycle, in the same office of District Attorney Tom Quinn, he's got this incredible tragedy of a brand new child, 5 years old, colliding to his own death on a tricycle going down his grandparents' driveway. And a landscaper doing his best with his big heavy truck to avoid a catastrophe, successfully avoiding the front bumper. He saw the child. This is what I am being told from sources. He saw the child racing down the driveway on his tricycle. Tricycles aren't known for their brakes. And little children are not known for their motor skills, right? So here is a child racing down this pitched driveway. This landscaper, seeing the child, moving his front wheels to avoid the child, successful there. But the child continues with no brakes, no ability to stop, right into the side and the back of the truck, where he's died, where he's killed. Killed. The first responders in what is a very small, tight-knit city of New Bedford, they're familiar with the child. Tragic all the way around. So the next district attorney, likely Chris Markey, let's be honest. He's got incredible momentum. He's got the experience. His opponent, Republican Seth Aiken, is not without experience and a decent man. Also a father. One of these two men is going to take over what is, to me, an incredible responsibility. And they will have to deal with a front seat to the worst tragedies, crimes that society can ever manufacture. Can you think of anything worse than a child in the custody of his grandparents accidentally being crushed by a landscaping truck? Can anybody think of something worse than that? Well, all you have to do is look a little further down the road to see a relatively young man murdered with a pitchfork to the back of the head, while his brother is shot to death and has his head crushed with a cobblestone. All of this, that while they're not daily occurrences in Bristol County, they are fairly regular. The details are specific to the cases, but the tragedy is common, right? When you're the district attorney, whether it's going to be Seth Aiken, the Republican, or Chris Markey, the middle-of-the-road Democrat, who will take over from Tom Quinn, that'll all be up to us. But they have to be prepared, and we're going to have to, as voters, make an assessment of these two gentlemen, if they're capable, psychologically and emotionally, if they're mature enough to deal with these sort of tragedies on a day-to-day basis. I mean, it's really, really incredible. The responsibility the district attorney has in anywhere, but, and also the new social media environment that has taken root. Certainly all of us witnessed in our living rooms, on our cell phones, the rise of social media journalism in the Karen Reed trial, okay? That was a Massachusetts trial handled by the district attorney, Michael Morrissey of Norfolk County, a colleague of Tom Quinn's. In fact, I was at a funeral for one of Tom Quinn's relatives and saw District Attorney Morrissey there years ago now. But the point being is that both Seth Aiken and Chris Markey will have to deal for their careers with a social media environment that we've never really seen before here in Massachusetts up until the last couple of years. And we have a lot of, and I praise them for it, citizen journalists in our environment, the likes of Jess Machado and other people, Turtle Boy, who get out there and chase down stories, and they're not constricted with corporations overseeing them or moderating their behavior or even editors overseeing what they're doing. So it gives them a level of freedom and the ability to be on the story before anybody else. Sometimes they, like all of us, believe me, I'm not without my own faults, and I am happy to point them out because I think that's the only way you can be in this business. I'm up here without a net, too. So sometimes we get out over our skis, and you gotta reverse course. But generally speaking, the citizen journalists that I've witnessed in Massachusetts do a tremendous job. I want to make put Carlos Felix in there as well, and with New Bedford Live. Again, when you're delivering raw, unedited news, sometimes things that come out are insensitive, maybe, because there's no editor to look at them. I'm reminded of the very first televised trial was a Bristol County trial, the Big Dan's rape case. And if you talked, if you've seen the Netflix special on that, they point out that all kinds of things went out over CNN, including the victim's name, that normally would not have gotten out but for the new medium, right? And the lack of editing because it was being carried live. So when you enter into the new media, at the time it was cable television, broadcasting a trial live, sometimes details get out that shouldn't get out. We try to do our best. Certainly Tim Weisberg, as the director of the news department, does a wonderful job editing news and cleaning up details and protecting people's privacy. Sometimes that's impossible when you're doing live radio, live streaming on the internet. But at the end of the day, you, the consumer, make the ultimate choice, right? What are you going to go to? Where are you going to? What are you going to consume? Well, today, if you'd like to consume a free breakfast and some expert panelists, come on down to Whites of Westport for a celebration of seniors put on by our district attorney, Tom Quinn. And by the way, it's hot out there. I feel it. You feel it. Good morning. Your automobile feels it as well. Hey, bring your car to Mack Auto Sales right in the city of New Bedford, 188 Rivet Street. They repair all makes and models of automobiles, including the vehicle you're driving right now. And they will get your car ready for the coming sweltering heat that your car will survive only if you prepare it for that really, really hot weather. So hot. Call Mack Auto Sales today and make an appointment at 508-565-6221. They're open weekdays 9 to 5. You're driving a foreign car? That's perfect. Mack Auto Sales specializes in servicing foreign automobiles. like the one you drive. They do a wonderful job with American made as well. Sometimes it's hard to tell whether that's made in America or a foreign job, but they know. Ask about their aftermarket accessories and their quality used cars for sale. At Mac Auto Sales, mention WBSM. They'll give you a nice break on the repair bill. If you'd like to be on the air, I'm certainly happy to have you stop on by here at Whites of Westport. Me and producer Matt, I'm trying to make Matt laugh, and I'm kind of succeeding. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Welcome back. Good morning. We're broadcasting live from the Celebration of Seniors here at Whites of Westport. Beautiful breakfast, great speakers, all put on by our district attorney, the retiring Tom Quinn. Be interesting to see what Tom does in his next chapter of his life. I hope he enjoys it, tell you the truth. I mean, he's been a great district attorney. A lot of people forget that Tom Quinn was appointed by Republican Governor Charlie Baker. Charlie Baker could have appointed a number of Republicans, but he didn't. He appointed a Democrat, Tom Quinn, because Tom is a prosecutor. Had a lot of service in the district attorney's office. And quite frankly, I've never really thought of the district attorney's office. I know it's political. I've been out there holding signs for candidates over the years. I've supported candidates. We certainly sell advertising to candidates. Not as much as we probably should. They don't buy as much as they probably should. But being the district attorney is an elected position. So it is a political position. But if you do it right, and I think Tom Quinn has, the politics are way deep in the background. So we're hoping that the district attorney's race between a Republican and a Democrat stays at the level it has been, right? Nice and gentlemanly and quite frankly uneventful, right? So we'll hope for that. Two very quality candidates running for the office, and so we'll see how it works out. But the thing is, it's up to us, the voters, to decide who has the experience, the temperament, to handle the crimes of Bristol County, all right? This is a really interesting county when you think about the two events that have just recently happened in New Bedford and Fall River. That is basically one day in the district attorney's life. It's really outrageous. Anyway, we're broadcasting live from a Celebration of Seniors here at Whites of Westport. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, good morning, Chris. How are you? Can you hear me, Chris?
Hey, what's happening? Yeah. What's happening, my friend?
Hey, hanging in there. I wish Tom Quinn the best.
Thank you. He's
going to be missed. And
yes,
he's a moderate Democrat, a guy who has his head in the right place. And Chris Markey, to me, is no Tom Quinn. But that's not why I called. It's just what happened in Fall River is absolutely outrageous. And that we don't know. We don't have the right to know who these people are. If they're here illegally.
Oh, it'll come out eventually. It'll come out eventually.
It's a violation of federal law, Title 8, Subsection 1324, Triple I. You know, aiding and abetting illegal aliens. I want a district attorney here that's going to work with our law enforcement to get these people off the street and not create more crimes and fatalities. And the other thing is, you know, we hear all of these, they call them activists and protests against law enforcement and police. Hey, they're impeding and interfering with federal agents. That's also a federal crime, 18C-111. Why aren't these state politicians and people that work in the government, in municipal government? Why aren't they going to jail in handcuffs for obstructing federal law?
Well, we have the most aggressive federal government on illegal aliens, right? But, I mean, it's a good question. Why isn't Leo Foley, and maybe she will, prosecuting more of these people who are blatantly breaking the law, oftentimes using public monies to do it?
Oh, absolutely, especially using, just recently they paid for using taxpayer money to pay immigration lawyers to defend them in court.
Yes.
That's also, this is just crazy stuff that's going on. No enforcement. The federal law needs to, the federal agencies need to come down heavy. And Foley needs to come down and start putting people in jail, because they're putting all of us at risk, Chris. As if somebody can
yes,
just
but
go
why isn't she, in other words, I look, I get it, but we voted for Trump. He appoints people. And despite the fact that the state legislature and other state officials are all in on the illegal aliens, Trump hasn't done enough, I don't think, or his people haven't done enough to deport them.
Right. You know, let me just say one last thing as far as the
I think Trump is maybe afraid of the delegation from New Bedford. That's why he doesn't take on illegal aliens. He's intimidated by the local legislators.
Let me just say the last thing on the Republican race between Minogue and Short Sleeve. You know, this whole thing about, well, they need practice and all this other baloney against the worst governor in the history of our Commonwealth. You mean to tell me these two guys can't just go out there? This woman had a drug dealer as her staff out there in Springfield.
Yeah, well, she just wanted to keep the bars open till 3 a.m., and you can't stay out till 3 a.m. without a little bit of stimulants. So, really, it all works hand in hand.
Yeah, that's what this Minogue, to me, is the right guy. And he needs to put on his boxing gloves. He's getting cheap shot. He's a billionaire flying around in a helicopter. This was Short Sleeve was on yesterday with Barry. He doesn't care. He's the reason why he doesn't debate is because, this... something about his business dealings. But the FTC, when you go public, they go through everything with a fine tooth comb to see if they can find anything. He needs to stop putting his boxing gloves on.
So you think Minogue should debate?
I think if he doesn't want to debate, at least make public statements and denounce these cheap attacks by Brian Shortsleeve.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. Thanks for the contribution to the program. We're broadcasting live from the celebration for seniors or of seniors here put on by the retiring district attorney, Tom Quinn. And we want to thank our sponsors, Mechanics Cooperative Bank, Coastline Elderly Services. Come on down to Whites of Westport, AARP of Massachusetts, Senior Medicare Patrol. Really great event and a great breakfast. And you too can enjoy the speakers, and you can hear them kind of droning in the background. We'll have a lot of great guests coming through. By the way, make sure you pick up or go to the bostonherald.com this morning. Another big story by citizen journalist Tim Dunn. Thank God Tim Dunn has the resources of the Boston Herald. And the street smarts of a good Mattapoisa kid. The governor of Massachusetts wants to use pension money to fund the deals that her cronies want to put forward for small businesses, nonprofits, stuff like that, that the private capital will go nowhere near. She wants to use public resources, your pension fund, if you're a public employee, to invest in things like, what, I don't know. They're things that sophisticated investors, people like Mitt Romney, John Lakin, Elon Musk, they won't invest in. So Governor Healey, with her fine investment track, is going to take your pension money, government employees, your union dues, your union money for your pensions, and put it into her Green New Deal scams. You think you're going to get your money back? Stick around. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. You're hearing the Attorney General and Domizone, Andrea Campbell, in the background. She has quite a personal story. We're broadcasting live from the Bristol County Celebration of Seniors at Whites of Westport, put on by District Attorney Tom Quinn, along with a lot of other great speakers, and Coastline Elderly Services all made this happen here this morning. We got a bunch of people on hold. Let's go to the phones, producer Matt. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on
the
air. Okay. Well, it was nice saying hello to you. And hopefully you'll call back, 508-996-0500. That's how you can get on the air here at Whites of Westport, Celebration of Seniors. So if you haven't seen the article yet, particularly if you're a public employee for the state of Massachusetts, you need to look at what Democrat Governor Maura Healey, the governor who did not appoint Tom Quinn, that was Republican Charlie Baker, who, interestingly enough, endorsed and helped fund the reelection campaign of Democrat Chris Markey. Kind of interesting. Tom Quinn, originally a Dartmouth Democrat, now a Fall River Democrat. Chris Markey, originally a New Bedford Democrat, now a Dartmouth Democrat, was both endorsed and funded by Charlie Baker, Republican governor for state representative, and Tom Quinn was elevated to district attorney by Republican Governor Charlie Baker. So it's a really interesting dynamic going on here. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for calling.
Hello, my friend.
Hey, what's happening?
Anybody but Healey, that's what I say. But Mike Minogue.
Anybody but Healey.
Yeah, anybody but Healey. Okay. But your friend Lenny Mills, is it? He said the thing
yes.
the other day. Where's the beef? I want to know what Mike Minogue stands for. I'm voting for Brian Shortsleeve. If Mike Minogue could win and beat him, fine, I'll vote for Mike Minogue and anybody but Healey. But he's really not making a good show of himself. Having these commercials, which he goes around smiling, patting on people on the back, and having everybody say how great he is. Well, as your friend Lenny Mills said, where's the beef? And if he can't come up with the beef, Healy's going to use that against him. We'll be stuck with her again. What say you, my friend?
No, look, I think Mike Minogue is a very strong candidate, but the idea that his team thinks that they're going to get a Marine Corps officer, Brian Shortsleeve, to drop out of the race because there's a little bit of a hurdle in front of him, I think is a miscalculation. And in the process of trying to ignore Brian Shortsleeve, who's got enough resources and enough wealthy supporters to make a big splash, it makes Mike Minogue's campaign look weak.
Bad.
And nobody nobody in his position can be made to look weak and ridiculous. It's bad.
That's right. That's right. Because a man like me can't be made to look ridiculous. But he's making himself look ridiculous. You're going to get into politics. You're going to talk. You're going to explain what you want to do. You know. And again, if he does beat Brian Shortsleeve because of his money and his back slapping and his smiling and everything, I will vote for him because we can't have Healey here again. But he's making it easy for Healey to call him out.
No, listen, I appreciate the call. Thanks for the contribution to the program. Have a great, great weekend. Look, I think Mike Minogue with his ideas, I've met him a bunch of times, talked with him one-on-one, did an hour interview with him. Same thing with Brian Shortsleeve. They're both dynamic individuals, both have great ideas for the governor's office, and both of them have great military records, right? And again, Brian Shortsleeve was never sent to combat, but he was available. Mike Minogue was sent to combat, and he flourished. He's a legitimate war hero. But whether that matters anymore to voters, you know, when we've elected Obama over a legitimate war hero, John McCain, I kind of knew.